I want to share with you guys a really cool talk, music talk I did with Niagara Moon, Thomas Irwin. Man, he's such a cool guy. He asked me to be on his show, on his podcast, and it was great. It was like 2 weeks ago, and it was just awesome. We just talked for an hour, and we really hit it off, and I think we're going to be collaborating later this year on some music. His music is awesome. Check it out. Spotify, Niagara Moon, two words. And I got a really cool Beach Boys vibe, but we love the same kind of music. His voice is awesome, and instrumentation is great. Songs are awesome. Highly recommend it. But yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and play it. It's an hour long, and here it is. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Have a great rest of your weekend, guys. Peace out.
Hey, you are listening to the Niagara Moon podcast. I'm Thomas Irwin, and I'm keeping my voice down since Wayman is still sleeping in the other room. But today, I have a very fun episode for you. I got in touch with a dude out in Boston named Dan Barracuda. He is a home producer, mixer, engineer, songwriter, composer, multi-instrumentalist. He's super prolific. He's always working on new stuff and is currently mixing a lot of other musicians' projects as well. He has a pretty chipper, a very upbeat attitude. He's always hungry to learn more and just loves to do what he does. We had a lot to talk about, had a lot in common, definitely a lot of similar influences on what we like to do. We're both diehard Beatles guys. Dan going so far as to have one song on his latest album that incorporates several different Indian instruments to pretty awesome effect. So his recent album is called Wavelength, and one of the highlights from that is a little tune called Speak to Me Dear. So I'll play a little bit of that, and then let's hear our convo. I guess to kick things off, tell me more about your podcast, like what kind of stuff you talk about.
So it's like, it's just like my journey, right? It's like an audio diary. Like, I don't even know who listens to it, but it's
you're
like
doing it for you.
I'm just kind of like doing it for me. And it's just like a way for me to just say my thoughts out loud, you know, through the funnel of words. And I mean, I've been doing it. I used to do it like, because it's very short, you know, sometimes they're like 3 minutes long, or they're like a guitar clip, or it's like 10 minutes of just me blabbling or just like saying, you know, like playing something that I recorded or something like that, and talking about it a little bit. And I used to do it like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
4 days a week?
Yeah. But wow. Again, they're so short, right? Like sometimes I would just like talk about a song I'm about to play, and then I'll play and that's it. And now I do it twice a week, but I don't even know how many episodes I have now, like 150 or something like that. But it's cool because like in the future when I look back, I haven't really looked back yet, but when I look back, it'll be cool to be like, to look back at times where I was struggling about something and I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do it, and then see like where that went. It's like, it's literally like an audio diary journal, you know, over time. So it's cool. It's extremely candid, and you know, I haven't interviewed anybody or anything, but I've considered it. And it's just cool. It's just keeping it consistent.
What, Dan, what kind of stuff do you like to talk about on there when you said you're working things out, like musical challenges?
Yeah, or? Early on, it was very much like, here's like a guitar. Because I used to do like a riff series. I would talk about like a riff that I wrote. Because that's like me. I'm like all about song ideas. Like in college, ever since college, I graduated in 2012. And
UMass.
UMass, yep. And I like just kept a database of like thousands and thousands of song ideas and riffs.
I picture you as someone like part of every day you're playing the guitar.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And piano, too. I would go to the practice rooms and I would just use my voice memos. I would use it started with Audacity. Voice Memos, GarageBand, and Pro Tools, and I literally have like 4,000 song ideas. They're like 30 seconds or a minute and a half long, and nowadays I expand them. I pick like 8 or 10 of them, and I expand them, and I finish them off to like full completed songs, and that's what I've been learning the past 10 years, just production, mixing, engineering, and stuff like that. So what I talk about is like, you know, I'll talk about like a riff, and I'll play it. And I used to do that more, but now it's more like my journey of like producing and marketing myself and recording obstacles and more stuff like that nowadays. Yeah.
Cool.
Even if it's like this week, I got a new guitar. I got my first new acoustic in like 12 years. I've had this Martin. And like this week I was talking all about that. And like I just like when I was trying it out, I just hit record on my phone for like 25 minutes. I just played nonstop and I just like smacked it on my podcast. You know, just it's so candid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if there's anything I've learned so far, like talking to musicians on this thing, it's guitarists love to talk about their new guitars.
Oh my God. It's like a new baby. It's crazy. I love it so much. I just got it on Tuesday and I'm obsessed with it.
But you're not just a guitarist by any means from what it like. You're, as you mentioned, you're producing, you're recording.
I've learned a lot of skills. Yeah.
You play piano, you write songs. I mean, and you play a lot of instruments in general, seems like.
Yeah, and I've been learning like software drums, and like my latest album is like it's all programmed drums, like going in there and like making it sound human and like changing the tempos and the fills, and like that's like a skill. Wow. I've developed a lot over. Yeah, it's crazy.
I couldn't tell. I was just checking out some stuff on your latest album.
Yeah,
a lot of
my
it
brother,
sounded pretty natural.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. My brother's a drummer, and I have drummer friends, and I would go to them. I'd be like, and I asked my brother, I'm like, what does it sound like? He's like, this is crazy. It sounds like someone's drumming for you. I'm like, that's great. I got your validation.
Awesome.
The tools we have nowadays are just incredible.
So going back a little bit, I mean, kind of a question I always end up asking, but when did you like first start playing music? How young were you?
I was 13. I started playing guitar. Metallica is the reason why I started playing guitar.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
Oh, God. I thank them so much because of the technical foundation it gave me. You know, it just, like, forced me to, like, learn their solos and guitar riffs. And I'm really thankful for, like, my metal roots. I don't play metal anymore, but I'm thankful for it just because, like, it just provided the foundation of, like, technical.
No, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if like half the musicians I'm really into, if they were super into metal as a teenager. I feel like it's a rite of passage for
it really is, yeah. And then I went to college, and then my friend turned me onto the Beatles.
Oh, like, so you didn't hear the Beatles till
I knew the Beatles when I was like 5 and 8, you know, my parents would play them, but it was like Can't Buy Me Love and Money. That's what I wanted. Those were like the two songs that I loved. And like I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I was gonna say a lot of the stuff I've heard from you, it's like, oh, this guy's he's into the 60s, he's into the the Sgt. Pepper's and all that. But I'm surprised to hear that came later for you.
Yeah, and anytime he'd show me a song, I'd be like, this is the Beatles? Like, I thought this was like a nursery rhyme, like Yellow Submarine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, what? And then he turned me on to The Day in the Life, and that's like my favorite song ever. But yeah, so I started my guitar when I was 13 and picked up piano like much later. But guitar is my primary instrument. I didn't sing till I was like 19 or 20. I was very late in the singing game, but my best friend's an amazing singer, and he helped me out a lot.
So you went to college, same place as me, UMass Amherst.
Yep.
Are you like a Massachusetts guy?
Yeah, I was born in Miami, and then I lived in Atlanta from like, you know, when I was like 5 to 8, and then I've been living here since third grade, ever since, at Westboro, Massachusetts, and now I live in Boston.
I've been to Boston a few times, as you might imagine. I never came across to me nowadays as like, I guess you have Berkeley. It's like where obviously a lot of musicians will gather there to learn and get their chops and start to network. But do you find it to be like a musician city that much, or is the scene more down in New York?
Oh, that's a good question. See, I'm a little weird here because I don't really play out that much.
You're more of a studio home recording guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I have a lot of friends that play out a lot, and I've heard like their struggles with it, you know, and like a lot of people do end up moving to New York or LA. But before the whole like Dan Barracuda project, which is like my solo project, I was very focused on the lie thing, but it was with a different project that I had with my best friend, like the singer I was talking about, and it was called The Pillow Men. And it was a musical production. It was like kind of like a rock opera, but it was like Blue Man Group on acid.
Because Blue Man Group is totally straight laced and normal otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was very much like that, but we wore masks and we had like an actor and a dancer. We had a crazy light show and it was awesome. We worked it hard for like 4 years and we got like mask training and it was a whole thing. And then we sold out like 2 shows at the Oberon back to back.
Wow.
You know the Oberon?
I've heard of it. I'm not
in Cambridge.
Okay.
Beautiful place, like a 360 kind of area. And it was an amazing experience. So that was very much live, you know, for us, like tackling the live show. But it was more like it was crazy. We had wireless mics underneath the masks, figuring out all that. Holy those technical moly. Difficult. It was a whole thing. But in the end, it was just the vision. Like we didn't have the funds for the vision that we had, so we kind of have it on like incubating. It's like kind of on pause for now, and couldn't get this huge grant that we wanted for like $10,000. We just didn't get it, and that was like a big blow. So kind of put it on pause for now. But yeah,
it's hard to put on a good show. It's its own discipline, just by itself. Yeah,
it is so much to think about because we're playing all the music we wrote. We wore all the hats. We're like directing it, like choreography, and recording and just managing it. It was crazy.
I'm making the assumption you're like bread and butter, like the thing you love to do most is the composing and recording.
It is, yeah.
So you kind of went more to that after like the hiatus or whatever, but are you pretty much like you're recording every day, working on new stuff every day, or?
Yeah. So I got 3 albums. So after the Pillowman kind of went on pause, I kind of pursued my own thing. And that's, I'm such a obsessive worker, like on my stuff. And
very intricate production. I don't like waiting around for people.
I didn't want to like start my own band because then we're going to like practice once a week, twice a week. I work every day.
You like to, you know? I mean, in a good way, like be obsessive with it. Like you want to take it as far as it's going to go.
So I wrote like my first album, solo album in 2017, and then 2018 I wrote my second one, and then this year I released my third one, and now I'm already working on my fourth one.
Nice. Yeah, I wanted to get more familiar with your catalog before we started today, and I was like, I wish I gave myself more time to do this, because like every song I play, first of all, you're super prolific, like there's 40 of them, and every one I play is very different than the next. It's like
that's like Sgt. Pepper's, right?
Yeah.
It's like what I strive
to
do.
You got legit Indian instruments going on. Yes. And, the Speak to Me Deer, and some tracks are like surprisingly really heavy, and then you have like really kind of tender, quiet acoustic stuff. And you're doing everything at home?
Yeah. Yeah. And the past 2 albums, I had a listening party. I hosted like a few listening parties in my living room. And it's so cool. Some of my friends, they're like blown away where I'm like, guys, this was recorded in this room. They're like, holy crap. And that's like what I strive to do, kind of make it sound as professional as I can. And because you can do so much with, and that's another thing that YouTube's been amazing with, like learning like mixing techniques and recording techniques. And like you can really make professional sounding stuff in your bedroom, in your living room. You really can.
It's awesome. There's, I think of it as there's very little you can't do. Can you actually make it sound like a real, can you like make a James Bond theme with orchestra and stuff?
I mean, now that I bought Contact.
You can,
well, the strings in Contact that I like,
you can get close.
Yeah.
The sampling software instrument Contact, that's like 75% of my stuff. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What libraries do you use? String sessions.
Yeah, got string sessions. I got like 10 different kinds of pianos. I use the Grandeur and the Grandeur, I should say.
Yeah, the
Grandeur. The Gentleman. I use those a lot.
Yeah, the Gentleman.
The Maverick.
Yep. The Giant.
The Giant. Cool. I have the Giant.
It's like 9 Inch Nails, like.
Yeah. Yeah. probably only like three people are gonna get these references.
Yeah, but, right.
Yeah, it is like, it quickly gets overwhelming. You're like, oh crap, like if I really sit down and focus, I can really kind of carry out like any musical vision I have without having to leave my house. So what do we do here?
Exactly.
But that, yeah, so you're going full throttle with that. Are you doing music or like music related stuff like full time now?
Yeah, I everything I do is music related. Like my day job, I'm the music director at like an enrichment center for children.
Oh,
and I work part time there. Yeah, and I teach guitar privately, do some music lessons, and I gig on the weekends with two of my friends. And now I mix for other people. I mix and master for other people, and that's been great. Yeah, I've been really pushing that because I really want to be able to like make a living in my home studio. And that's like one of the dreams, one of the big goals I have. So I've just been like ravenously looking for bands and artists that like would like some mixing. And I actually do something crazy. I offer the first mix for free. And so I spend a lot of time mixing a lot of free stuff, but it turns into relationships.
Yeah,
it's a relationship thing, you know? You want people to trust you.
And you want to... eventually have the flexibility to work with like the right people for you, like the
exactly
musicians that are going to fit.
Yeah,
there's the DIY musician of today. We need more mixing love. We need people who know what they're doing.
Yeah,
with those softwares.
And I didn't go to school for any of that stuff. It's all just over the years.
Are you you seeing a lot of Berkeley people, or is it kind of totally independent from that?
Yeah, well, so I work in Wellesley, so I don't really hang out in Boston a whole lot, but I mean, one of my friends works for Berkeley Online.
So Wellesley is where specifically?
It's like west.
Okay.
It's a really nice town.
Okay, so kind of like the outskirts of greater Boston.
Yes, yeah. But one of my best friends works for Berkeley Online, so you know, he's very hands in on Berkeley, and I have a bunch of friends that graduated from Berkeley. Or at least went there.
But where you are kind of has its own thing going on anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't play out that much.
Do you, like if you have your way, are you like to stay home most days?
I am like a hermit.
Yeah.
Working on that a little bit. But it's just like I've been slowly building up my home studio. Like I have this like beautiful like big monitor now. It like kind of changed the game for me. It just like feels great. I got my laptop, and then right behind it, I got this huge monitor, and I got new speakers, new headphones. Like I got a new mic, and just like slowly building it up.
Getting
I got my guitar
gear.
Amp here. I got the Scarlett, and everything's all set up, and I just love it. I can do so much. What I can do here, and now that I can like mix people like right in this chair and like make an income, is so exciting for me.
Wow. Was it difficult for you to get to this point, like amassing all this knowledge and kind of getting caught? I mean, I imagine the struggles with the Pillow Man might have been.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But the skills that we learn through that, you know, it's like we learn, it's just like a little bit each day, you know, and it's just like, but the inner passion and like the fire for it all like has never... subsided, has never dwindled at all. So it's like hard sometimes, it is, but it's just like worth it for me, you know. I've been working on music for 15 years, and ever since college it's been like trying to acquire as many skills as I can.
So it sounds like your day, a typical day for Dan Barracuda, you're doing some aspect of like writing or recording. You're able to keep that up on a daily basis, and
yeah.
Mixing, I have some mixing engineer buddies, or at least a couple, where it's always a very difficult balance to keep their own personal projects going and like maintain a steady schedule of clients. Is that something you're running into yet? Or
yeah, so I've been pursuing mixing other people for like 3 months, like 2.5 months now. So I haven't been doing that long, but again, I'm going from nothing.
You know?
So I'm like hitting up Facebook groups, Reddit. Like Instagram, and just like contacting people, offering a free mix and seeing who bites. I'm so surprised at how many people don't bite. I'm like, I'm offering you a free mix.
Free,
like,
yeah.
Do you not want a song mixed? So I've been like casting a huge net.
Yeah, yeah.
And like seeing whoever bites and then start to develop relationships with them. And it is very time consuming, especially because I am doing a lot of free stuff. But I just
so you have a passion for it, even if it's not your own music. You seem very interested in like the technical.
Oh yeah, because so many things happen from when you give someone a free mix. So many like the five or like a bunch of things happen. One, you develop skills, right? You because it's
training
a new
for
genre
yourself,
of music.
Yeah.
It's training. You can ask them for a review on on your website. And why wouldn't they do it? They're for free. You can offer to master it, which wouldn't be free. And it develops this relationship with them. You know, it's like a nice path to like a new, it's like, it's not just free. It's like a lot of good things come with it, you know? It is time consuming, but I'm really loving it so far. It's sharpening my skills, working on different genres.
I mean, that's definitely the quickest way to learn is to just do it for real.
Just
no
do
substitute
it.
Substitute for that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, kind of going back to your own songwriting and your own style, are you conscious of like certain themes you tend to explore? How much of yourself would you say leans to the psychedelic side, or is there?
It's a lot of it is very, very personal. I kind of want to start straying away from it. I've done like three albums and they're all like about like this fire that I'm talking about, like this like ambition. It's a lot of it is like ambition themed, you know, like vulnerable sides of myself, but like in very cryptic ways. Sometimes it's like a story. Like Wavelength is all about like the creative process, like the ride of like the roller coaster of emotions that we get through like creative endeavors.
Yeah.
You know, and every song really goes to that specific emotion. So like it's hard to kind of tell what the album's about because it's so cryptic and abstract. It's very abstract.
You like kind of obfuscating things, if I'm using that word correctly.
And my girlfriend is a painter, and sometimes I'll have like a song about the painting. I'll like make a song about the painting. And this next album is also very personal. And I just want, but extremely cryptic and abstract, of course. So I don't know. I like to start exploring like other themes, you know, just like stuff like outside of me. But it's hard because that's kind of what drives me to like write.
And I mean, spending a lot of time working by yourself doesn't help things in that way either.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I have so many ideas from the past, like from my database of song ideas that I still love, and like they've survived like the test of time for me. It's like, wow. I wrote this like 12 years ago. I still love it. Like I really want to make this into a song. So I have like just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs that like are ready, waiting to be fleshed out. Now, I have enough work for a lifetime. It's crazy.
I'm the kind of songwriter, composer, whatever you want to call it. Like I can only carry so many ideas at once. Like what you're describing would just like freak me out and overwhelm me a little too much. Like I can have like maybe 10 things going on either like that I'm conscious of or kind of in the back burner, and I feel like I need to see them through before I can like invite new ideas. Otherwise like all the streams will just get crossed. But
that's why I like albums. Like it's like it takes all this cloud of all these ideas and just condenses it to like 8 songs.
This thing.
7 songs. Like I'm like my fourth release that I'm working on right now is an EP. It's 6 songs. That's it. So I got everything condensed down to 6.
Narrow.
And now I'm thinking about doing like 2 and then like a single and just trying different things. Yeah.
Now I know you mentioned your brother is a drummer, so I imagine you've worked with him a fair amount. Is collaboration still something you're able to do here and there? Or do you like really
So the first album was all me and then my brother drummed on the whole album. That was not Software Drums, the whole first album.
Yeah.
The second album was the same thing. The only thing is that I had like a couple guest musicians. Like I had a stand-up bassist and I forgot what else I had right now. But the third album was different because that was the year that I really started pushing myself out there like on Instagram and social media. And I made a lot of friends through Instagram all around the world. So Speak to Me Dear, the Indian song you were talking about, has four guest musicians. It literally has a tabla player from India, a sitarist from Brazil. It has a hand pan player from France, and a sarangi player. It's like this one of my favorite instruments now. It's like an Indian violin.
Okay, that's that. I was wondering what that was called.
Yeah, it's like the first thing you hear, right?
Yeah.
And he's from India. So that's just track two.
The internet is amazing.
That one has the most. But another thing is that I started having a new coworker at that school that I work at. And he's awesome, man. His name is Robert Trevisani. And on track 5 and 7 of the third album, there are strings on it. And they are contact strings, but and this is a cool thing that I learned. There's another big thing I learned like this past December was, and November, it was such a struggle getting to figure it out. He can compose something on finale, because he's a brilliant composer.
Finale is the music notation software?
Yes. Yeah. So he's very good with that. You know, he did all through Berkeley. He went to Berkeley. So he wants to be like a composition teacher. And he loves like modernist music and just classical music. And I really wanted him to try writing strings for a couple of these songs. And he did it, and I really loved what he did. So the process of bringing the data from finale onto contact, like into my song, was hard.
Scared very quickly.
But once I figured it out, it was like amazing. It just like blended right in, and I could choose the exact string sound I wanted, the reverb, mix it in. And like, so I got really excited about that. And on this fourth release, this EP of 6 songs that I'm working on, it's just going to be like me, like my nylon acoustic, and maybe some software percussion. And then he's going to put strings on all of it. I just want strings on this thing. So just do it. We know exactly how to carry it over. Got a tempo map to songs. I was working on that like all last night, like mapping every song and like with the tempo, having the click go. Like if I wanted to retard, it has to be like.
Oh, wow. You're doing that all. Man.
And I'm like literally going in. I'm like 110, 100, 108, 104, 102, 99.
Wow. I think I tried something like that long ago, back when I was making like instrumental electronic music or whatever. And then when you start messing with the grid, things get heavy.
But it's effective when done right, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great effect. There is really nothing quite like strings, like good strings on a song. Somehow you can't. Yeah. There's nothing like it. What's that album? Homogenic by Björk.
Oh, I don't know it.
Oh, well, that's your next listen right there. Okay, do you know cool. Björk?
Björk? Not really. I know like a couple songs.
She, Homogenic, if you're looking for like usage of strings on a modern album or like a modern pop album.
Wow. Is it like industrial sounding? Because she kind of is, right?
Yeah, it depends on the song. It's like there's a little bit of that on a song or two, but her whole concept for that album was my singing. Strings, like quartets or quintets or whatever, and drums.
Wow. That's I'm going to write that down. Homogenic?
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks. Anything else?
For string stuff. I feel like radio, I mean, I'm guessing you already are a heavy follower of them, but the way Radiohead uses strings, especially in A Moon-Shaped Pool, their new album.
I love the first song too of Burn
so
the Witch.
Smooth.
I love it. I love it. Day in life.
yeah. So what do you? You seem like somebody where every part of every day you're doing something with music. Like you always got the next thing you're excited about. Is there time left over for any like sort of hobby or any other kind of creative outlet that...
Yeah, so I've recently started exercising, and that's been awesome for me. I've been doing it for 3 months now, and I literally love it. I go, like, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, and that's been, like, a nice big change in my life.
Nice.
And just spending more time outside and scheduling more trips and hanging out with my family more. And, yeah, I've been, like, working on having a more kind of balanced lifestyle.
Doing stuff to clear your head, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. There's something just keeps drawing me to it, you know? So I have to like actively pick other things. and the marketing that I'm doing is, it's exciting because it's not just, it is like my music kind of brand, reputation, whatever you want to call it, that I'm working on, but it's not music itself. So lately I've been focused on, I'm finally going to build my own email, like my own mailing list. Mm. And I'm going to like give tips on mixing. It's not just going to be like merch. It's going to be like
content on there.
Yeah. And I'm excited to do that and have like kind of own my own audience and not have it like live in like the mercy of Instagram or Facebook. So I've been learning a lot about that. And that's really exciting. And yeah.
So when you say marketing, so I know you mentioned you're just networking in a lot of places to find clients to mix their music. What other kind of stuff falls under that umbrella for you, would you say?
So Instagram is definitely my main platform for content. It's mainly content that I'm talking about.
So like videos of you playing your stuff? That sort of thing?
Yeah, a lot of guitar, mainly guitar videos. So January 2018, beginning of last year was the time where I was like, you know what, I'm going to start pushing myself out there online. And so I started making a ton of content and like learning through it all, making friends online, and then eventually collaborators on the new album. And, a lot of, you know, YouTube videos, Instagram, Facebook, started the podcast, getting my stuff on SoundCloud, Bandcamp, just kind of like, you know, getting everything on all the platforms all settled, and then like making content and like, and I used to post a lot. I used to post like 4 to 5 times a week. I was really committed to it. And now I post like twice a week because I'm more focused on like, I was like, all right, I'm like working so much on this stuff. I'm going to take a backseat, but keep it consistent. Post like once or twice a week. So I'm like always like showing up regularly, but I got to work on some things that are going to like make me some money, right? So like, cause like the brand is always going to be there as long as I'm consistent about it and I'm going to keep producing, and I will cause I love it. But I want to start like mixing other people and like, I want to start engineering. I started like realizing through making these albums, I was like, you know what? Like I can be an engineer too. And the marketing has been like that. Like I want to start doing some mixing, more mixing tutorials, like the OBS stuff I was telling you about. And a little bit on LinkedIn, but not much.
Yeah, I hate
that. I worked on Facebook ads and like never really had, I mean, yeah, never really sold anything via Facebook ads. But, you know, you get, if you have like a cool video, like a guitar video or something, you can get a lot of eyeballs on
it. Get a lot of eyeballs, yeah.
Yeah, and that's good, some exposure.
Yeah, LinkedIn needs to go away.
Oh, gosh.
But that's for another podcast. Yeah, how do you, I mean, it's kind of weird to be super conscious of it yourself sometimes, but how do you portray the Dan Barracuda brand? What's the message you're putting out there, would you say?
It's an interesting question. Definitely just dedication. A lot of dedication and passion is kind of like what I am. I'm also really funny. Like in some of my videos, like every Saturday I do on Instagram stories, I have a music quiz, and I do all sorts of themes. I do like it's like usually 10 questions, and it's like quiz formatted, so you can like pick A, B, or C, multiple choice. And sometimes I do like educational stuff, like name that interval, name that time signature, chord quality, or I'll do like name that 70s song, name that 2000s song, name that 90s song. And I'm so like pleased with how many people take the quiz. It's amazing. Like sometimes like 300 right, people taking it. It's like, wow. And then sometimes if it's like a music theory quiz, like if it's like a name that interval, the day after the quiz expires, I'll like announce the winner and then I'll like explain. I was like, all right, guys, so we got like, I don't know why some of you guys chose minor second when it's a perfect fifth. Okay, here's a perfect fifth. Okay, so some teaching too.
Yeah,
and that's what I want to do. I want to start teaching people how to home record and make my own videos with my own kind of attitude and my own personality. That's like where I'm at right now, right? Like dedication, passion, humor. Those are like the main things right now.
Yeah, you seem to be somebody who, as soon as you get a piece of knowledge, you want to share it with other people. You want to spread
and
the wisdom.
The podcast is funny for that, too.
Cool, yeah.
That's why I'm excited for the email list, because it's like my own world.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I can just say whatever I want. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely recommend that. It's not always easy to get people to open their email, but it is satisfying when you get that follower who is truly engaged, and it's your,
yeah,
you get pen pals.
The thing, I know, open rates are lowest than they've ever been before, but they're still like the best way to reach your audience. Isn't that crazy? It's like,
yeah, like, I mean, just everybody is doing email these days. I mean, any kind of company, any kind of service.
Oh, you have so many emails. Oh, I do a lot of unsubscribing.
I mean, there's so much spam there too, though. That's the problem. I literally, let's see if I can share this. I got a spam email today that really caught my attention. The headline was, oh, did it empty? Shit. I'm going to edit this later.
Who was it
so
from?
That people don't wait. I mean, it was just like from some robot service somewhere. Did I already delete it? Fuck.
Oh, man.
So I edit these later anyway. It was like an email that was literally titled, yeah, I deleted it, like, fuck you, I hate you, in all capital letters.
Are you serious?
Was the headline of the email. Yeah, Google filtered it out, obviously, but... Like, that's wow, amazing. That's about as far as you can take that.
Yeah.
Attention-grabbing stuff.
The thing that sucks about these platforms is... Like, you know about what happened to Facebook organic reach?
Yes. So, kind of for anybody's not super clear what we're talking about. So, everybody's on Facebook, and a lot of, like, artists and companies and everybody is using Facebook, you know, has a Facebook page. And it used to be you had an audience there, and you tell them something, you post something, and you're going to see it because you follow the page. And over time... Facebook became a more and more competitive platform to like see people post stuff. So now it's, you got to pay to get anything through. Like organic reach is you not paying, just you on your page, like posting something and hoping that like your fans will see it. And the way Facebook is set up now, it's like a tenth, if that, of people following you are going
to. It's like
0.01%. Come across
it's
it. Yeah.
It's insane.
So, your Facebook page, if you're like a musician, as a place to get eyeballs on your stuff or to share something, is like doesn't really work anymore unless you put money behind it.
And the same thing's happening on all the platforms.
Instagram's getting
Facebook,
that way too.
So
yeah,
it's getting that way, and that's it. Really sucks. Like you make a video, you spend time making a piece of content, and just like the amount of people that even get to see it on their newsfeed is just diminishing and diminishing.
Yeah, you realize that was probably kind of inevitable though, just because like everybody's going there now, and there's plenty of people are out there willing to pay. So it's
exactly.
So when you get into that kind of competition, it's like, it's going the way of like a newspaper or a magazine or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But you strike me as somebody more than a lot of other people I talk to where, like, all the crazy changes in the music industry in general and the influence of the internet and how the internet changes, like, a lot of this stuff doesn't really sway you too much one way or the other. Like, you really know the things you like to do and you, like, dial in on that and you just do what you can. And it seems like a lot of stuff doesn't really worry you too much.
Yeah. Yeah, and I follow some marketing people that like really make me see how like right now is the best time to be doing what we love to do and making like a business out of it, you know. And that's very optimistic, you know, listening. And we have so many tools. Like you can learn anything on. You just go to YouTube.com and learn how to do something. Like if I have an issue, I type in the issue on YouTube and I fix the issue. If I want to learn how to mix a song or how do I like use a plugin that I'm thinking about buying, I just watch like a 10-minute video and now I know how to. It's amazing. I know how to use it. If I have trouble with like how do I make an email list, I just go on YouTube and I just figure out how to do it. Like it's like right in front of us. We can do so much. But a lot of people, I feel like what a lot of people have trouble with is like the long game. And I'm very consistent person. Like. I'm like, the long game is not fear me at all. You know, I'm just like, all right, I just every day, just do it every day.
You're big on every day, which I
thought. Consistency and just long game and just finding happiness in every day. And as long as you're doing what you love and, you know, setting some challenges for yourself.
Yeah, how can you go wrong, really?
Yeah, it's the key.
So what do you, what are some of your big goals or what are you excited about for like the rest of the year and beyond?
I'm excited for this fourth release. I think it's the best music I've written.
So didn't you just put out Wavelength?
I did. But
that's already old news.
These other songs came to me. And this album is different because all the last three albums have songs, you know, like one song will be like track one will be like from 2009. Track two will be from like 2014, you know, but I finish it now. It's like all from all over like the past like 12 years. But now this album is like all from like the past 2 months. Like I just like had like a creative splurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just like wrote all this music. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Oh, here's another big thing. Mm-hmm. The spider capo. Do you know what a spider capo is?
No. What's a spider capo?
It's a capo that where you can capo individual strings.
Okay. I see the implications of that.
So watch this. Check this out. Picture your guitar. You're holding your guitar. You got a capo on the first fret. You also have a capo on the eighth fret. And then on the eighth fret, you're capoing string A and string G. And on the first fret, you're only capoing, you know, the low E and like the high E. And then you strum and you have like the craziest chord you've ever heard. So I found out about it. I got one for Christmas. My brother's girlfriend got it for me for Christmas. Blew my mind. Absolutely loved it. I reached out to Spider Capo. And it's like this guy. It's just this guy.
It's just a dude
Peter.
Who's like...
It's just a dude. He's like 65 and he invented it. And he's like, I just want you to realize that this is just like a small project. I do not do this full time.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I just invented it. It's extremely niche, you know? Like not a lot of people know about it. The Chinese are starting to take over and it's getting really annoying. Anyways, but I reached out and I told him how much I love it. And so I'm actually, I actually met him in Connecticut at like a trade show. And we're like friends now. And I'm kind of helping him a little bit on like the advertising front. And
the implications, it's like you could play in any tuning you can imagine, right?
It's absolutely amazing. He sent me another one, so now I have two. And that is what contributed to this creative splurt where I just wrote all this crazy music. And it's because I have capo 1 and capo 5 and only a couple strings are capoed. And I'm like writing the craziest, craziest riffs. And it's like completely transforms the fretboard. And I've written like so much stuff on it, and I don't know. I'm really excited about this album, and just mixing other people. I love like casting a huge net, and seeing who bites, and like developing relationships. And I love when I turn their song into something greater, and seeing how happy they are. That like makes me wicked happy.
Like showing them the next step, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hopefully. Making more music, starting the email community, and just mixing other people and developing relationships, and just that's like where I'm at right now, and it's like very, very makes me very happy.
That's exciting, yeah. And where should people check you out?
Dan Barracuda, anything. DanBarracuda.com, at Dan Barracuda on Instagram, Facebook. You know, Dan Barracuda. Dan Barracuda on Bandcamp. Everything Dan Barracuda. Spotify. It's just Dan Barracuda.
What's the podcast called?
It's called Inside a Musician's Mind.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess that one's not called Dan Barracuda, but I feel like if you were to search Dan Barracuda, you might be able to find it.
Awesome.
I feel like my goofiness it comes through in the name, too. It's just like Barracuda. Dan Barracuda. It's like hilarious.
Well, I mean, because what's your real name?
The music's Barrenechea.
Yeah, so no one's remembering that, but Barracuda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It can do Barrenechea.
Awesome. Well, Dan, I had a blast doing this. It was
me too.
Very exciting to talk to somebody like, you know, doing the kind of music you do with the kind of perspective you have and
cool.
The energy, the whole thing. Yeah, this is great.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, I'm by my lonesome again. So he's pretty cool. Yeah, definitely. We could have kept talking for a few more hours. A lot of ground to cover there. I highly encourage you to check out his website, danbarracuda.com. His music's on all the major platforms. Wavelength is quite the jam, but I can definitely attest to his other two albums being very, very good as well. So I have to now pack up because we are moving apartments this week and about to go traveling as well. So time to get on that. Maybe I'll give you more updates on that down the line. But yeah, have a good rest of your day, and hopefully I'll put one of these up next week.
You're the one. You're the one that speaks to me, dear. Speaks to me, dear. In the light desert sand, we dance with our hearts aligned in a blue.